Man, it's great to be here tonight. I love the new building. And tonight I'm preaching out of Romans chapter 1. The title of the sermon is Only One Viewpoint is Allowed. Only One Viewpoint is Allowed. Now, the idea for this sermon came from the fact that a few days ago I was on YouTube and I was doing some research on like some ancient Roman literature. And somehow I was watching this lecture from a university in Australia or something. It was some kind of a PhD lecturer giving this lecture. And they're talking about this ancient Roman literature. And this statement just jumped out at me where the presenter said, oh, well, you know, back then the Romans thought that the... She's basically showing this literature where this guy's calling another guy a faggot and how he's a pedophile and whatever. It's like one Roman guy like attacking another Roman and criticizing him. And she said, you know, back then, the Romans thought that the wrong kind of sexual contact could actually make you dirty or could even lead to like disease. That's what they thought back then. And then she just keeps on talking and I'm just like, you know, can somebody tell this woman about STDs or something, you know, explain something to her? But I was just so taken aback that the seemingly intelligent person would make such a ridiculous statement like, oh, you know, back then they didn't really know, so they thought something could be dirty or lead to disease. So here's what I did. You know, I went on, I left a comment in the YouTube video. And I didn't, in this video, I didn't use any words like queer or sodomite or whatever. All I did was I just gave the minute and second marker of what the presenter said. And then I basically said, well, you know, here are the statistics according to AIDS.gov. And I gave a few statistics, just direct quote. And I just said, it looks like the Romans were right after all. Okay. So, I mean, this is so benign. This wasn't like me in Pastor Anderson mode or anything. This was me just basically just pointing out the elephant in the room. Well, according to the Center for Disease Control, that's true. And this is what blew me away is that my comment, I went back a little bit later and my comment had been deleted by a university. Now, why did this university delete my comment, this Australian university? Is it because I was spreading fake news? Is it because I was spreading disinfo? Is it because I got my facts from a source that was not reputable? Is it because there was something incorrect about what I said? Or was it just because there's only one viewpoint allowed and it's only a pro-sodomite viewpoint, it's only a pro-homo viewpoint, it's only an anti-Christian viewpoint that's allowed, and I just made the mistake of just expressing the truth, but it didn't fit their narrative, even though I was using a source that they would look at and say is a reputable source. You know, I mean, CDC.gov, AIDS.gov, that should be considered by a university to be a reputable source. But I'm telling you, the censorship today is so incredible. It doesn't matter how well documented it is. It doesn't even matter if you even just leave your opinion out of it. I didn't even give my opinion because, you know, I could give you my opinion on sodomites, but I didn't even give my opinion. I just said, this is what the facts are. So the Romans were right when they said that that kind of contact leads to disease. Deleted. And supposedly, these are supposed to be institutions of free thinking and learning and scientific inquiry. We got to believe the science. Trust the science. The science is real. Until they don't like what the science says. Now look down at your Bible there in Romans chapter 1. Let's see what the Word of God says. It says in Romans chapter 1 verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Here's a synonym for that, dirtiness. You know, if it's unclean, that means it's dirty. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And you know what else it is? It's dirty, it's unclean, it's filthy, it's an abomination in the sight of God, and it's an abomination in the sight of every normal person. And I'm going to prove that to you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, toward the end of the New Testament. It says, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet is the physical judgment that they get automatically just by partaking in that lifestyle. They end up receiving disease for doing that. Okay? They get that recompense, that payback for what they've done. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Look down at your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, don't miss this, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot, by living in Sodom and Gomorrah, it vexed him. What does it mean to be vexed? It means like it just bothers you. It just makes you uncomfortable. It makes you upset. It's just like, ugh. It vexed his righteous soul. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Have you ever heard people say this about sodomites? Like, well, it doesn't really bother me. That's what they do. And they're not really hurting anybody. They're not really bothering me. Hey, just, you know, whatever they're doing, it's not bothering me. Let me tell you something. If it's not bothering you, you know what that means? It just means you're not righteous. Why don't you just tell me, if you say like, well, the sodomites don't bother me, transvestites don't bother me, then basically what you're just saying is I'm not righteous. Because even Lot vexed his righteous soul day to day. Like every single day, this bothered Lot. So if it bothered Lot, why doesn't it bother you? And Lot's not exactly a super Christian. Lot wasn't exactly the most godly person in Scripture, but even Lot, even at his level of spirituality, this is something that bugged him, it bothered him, it vexed him, he didn't want to see it, he didn't want to hear it. If you are okay with it and it's not bothering you, you're like below Lot on the spiritual index, is what you're basically doing. And so if anybody says to me, it doesn't bother me, I'm just like, oh, this is an unrighteous person that I'm talking to. That's what I think to myself. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They don't even understand the filthiness and the dirtiness, and they're just living in this dream world. I mean, it's so bizarre to see a seemingly intelligent person, you know, PhD, professor, expert, get up and make such an absurd statement that is just absurd on its face to say, oh, well, back then, you know, they thought it was dirty. Back then, they even thought it could make you diseased. It's like, what are you laughing at? That, you know, now, I went to AIDS.gov today, okay? Because every time I go there, I expect it to be gone. You know what I mean? Like, I go back and I check if it's still there, and it's always still there. So today was no exception. I was on my flight on the way over here, you know, just so it'd be fresh. So I was flying over here this afternoon. I was on Southwest. I paid for the Wi-Fi, and I hopped on there. I went to AIDS.gov, and it redirected me to HIV.gov because they've changed the name now. Now they're HIV.gov. I don't know why, but it was still there on the homepage. So I get there, and look, I'm just going to break this down for you and make it real easy for you to find out that what I'm saying is fact. It's a fact. Okay, this is not some wild-eyed conspiracy theory from some wild website somewhere. I went on HIV.gov today, and right on the homepage, I looked at all the choices, and one of them said U.S. statistics. So that's what I clicked on, because I figured that's where I'm going to find what I want. I clicked on that. So this is not hard, folks. HIV.gov, homepage, U.S. stats, and here's what I found. I just scrolled down a little bit. Key points: HIV diagnoses, MSM. Now, here's what MSM means. men having whatever with other men. MSM accounted for 69% of new HIV diagnoses in the United States. Everybody got that? MSM, 2019, 69% of HIV diagnoses, okay? And then how about this? Heterosexual men accounted for 7% of new HIV diagnoses. Okay, has everybody got this? So homo men, 69% of the diagnoses. Hetero men, 7% of the diagnoses. And then the rest is women. You know, the other 20-some percent or whatever that adds up to. Okay, so let's do a little math together. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a little math lesson tonight. All right? So according to a Gallup poll from 2017, they claim that 3.9% of dudes in America are queers. So they're claiming that, you know, let's just round it off. Let's just say 4% of dudes are queer, according to the Gallup poll, right? So that means that that would represent about 2% of the United States population, right? Because obviously half of the population are men, half of the population are women. So if we get 50% of the population and then we take 4% of that, we have 2% of the population are homo dudes. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Yep. I haven't lost anybody yet, have I now, with this complicated math? It's not complicated. So 2% of the population is getting 69% of the HIV. Okay, do a little math here. Let's just round that off and say 2% is getting 70%. Now, if everybody was getting it equally, that would mean what? 2% of the population would get 2% of the AIDS, right? 2% of the population should get 2% of the disease. But no, 2% is getting 70% of the disease. That means they're getting it 35 times more than what they would be normally. Okay, but it doesn't stop there, because straight men then would make up what? 48% of the population, right? Because if 2% are queers, then 48% are normal dudes, because we're only talking about the men, right? Okay, so 48% of the population, according to AIDS.gov, is getting 7% of the disease of AIDS. So you got 2% getting 69% of the disease, and you've got 48% getting 7%. Now, again, if everybody's getting it equally, 48% of the people should be getting 48% of the AIDS. But they're only getting 7%. So they're getting like 1/7 as much as you would expect, approximately. So, therefore, if you just do some very simple math, it's not even algebra, it's arithmetic. An elementary school student could do the math on this. You'll find out that based on those figures, that if you have a homo dude in America and you've got a hetero dude in America, the homo dude is more than 200 times likely to get AIDS this year than a straight dude. So you got a homo dude and a straight dude, the homo is 237 times more likely to get AIDS than a straight dude. I mean, that's pretty serious. I mean, shouldn't we be warning people? Shouldn't we be warning young people? Hey, just so you know, if you decide to engage in that activity, statistically, you're 237 times more likely to get AIDS. Let alone all the other diseases, friend. That's one disease. What about all the other STDs and other conditions that this could lead to? Folks, these are facts directly from the government's own website. But why don't you ever hear about this on the news? You think there's a news report on this? Do you think that this is what they're teaching in elementary school or high school or on universities? No. You can go to a university's YouTube page in Australia and you just leave a comment linking them to this data and you're censored immediately. Because there's only one viewpoint allowed. Look, that should show you, just what I've just explained to you over the last few minutes should just show you right now how much we are just surrounded by lies and fraud, and how real truth and real information is just completely hidden away and not allowed to be talked about unless it fits the agenda. Now you say, well, it's right there. Everybody can read it on HIV.gov. But here's the thing. people don't just kind of get off work and say, hey, let's get on HIV.gov, you know? You know what I mean? Like, somebody who's on HIV.gov, like, you know, they're either a pastor getting ready to rip on homos from the pulpit, or else, you know, they're doing some kind of research or something, or they have it already, and so they're going on to figure out, what do I, you know, where do I get my drugs to fix this or whatever. The point is, your common man's not going there and finding this information. But and if you try to take this information and bring it over to like a place like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or to a school system or something where you can kind of bring this information to the masses and educate people about this, they'll immediately shut you up, even though the information is from their own government website. You can't talk about it. What in the world could possibly be the explanation for that, other than the fact that Satan has an agenda to promote this queer death style and destroy the family, destroy everything that's right, destroy everything that's Christian and godly, and to promote this filth and this abomination because of the fact that these things are right there. And yet what I'm saying right now, I'm up here saying, you know why I'm up here saying this? Nobody else is even saying it except for a few preachers. It's crazy. It's unclean. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 23, 24, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And let's face it, folks, these same libtards are the ones trying to put you on a guilt trip because you won't take the experimental vaccine. Or you didn't wear enough masks. You didn't wear that. You didn't triple mask and double mask. And, you know, you let your mask fall below your nose for a couple seconds. Or you didn't get vaccinated with their experimental garbage vaccine. And, you know, they're going to virtue signal like, we got to stop the disease. And the you know what? Why? What about AIDS? How about, why don't we social distance fags from one another? Every fag needs to stay 6 feet away from everyone else so they don't transmit AIDS. So they can't transmit AIDS and be an AIDS dispenser. They strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel. Okay? They don't, if they really cared about your health, if the government just loves you so much and they just really care about protecting you and they just really want to get you vaccinated because they just really want you to be healthy, then wouldn't they be warning people about this death style and say, hey, look, folks, we just want you to be healthy, just so you know. Dudes with other dudes, you're 237 times more likely to get this horrible disease. Just saying. They're not going to tell you that. But they're so worried about you getting COVID, which, you know, turns out has like a 99 point whatever percent survival rate is what it has turned out over the past few years. We've seen now that it's not as deadly as what it was made out to be. And it has a huge survival rate and whatever. And now we have forced vaccinations that people are looking at, you know, and what's driving the forced vaccinations? Is it the fact that they love the truth and they love people and they want to keep you healthy? No, because if so, what about this other data that they just don't care about? I'll tell you what it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 will tell us why. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so we see here that the love of money is the root of all evil, and there are billions and billions and billions of dollars to be made off of this vaccine, because even if they give it to you for free and they even give you a $50 gift card, you think that money just came out of thin air? You think corporations are just like, gift cards for everyone. Here, you take $50. $50 for you. Yes, young man, here's $50. We just love you so much. We're just giving you money. Give money. Give more money. Do you really think that? Are you really that dumb? Because there's no such thing as a free lunch. Where's that $50 coming from? Where's the cost of that vaccine coming from? These companies are making billions of dollars, okay? And then we've got our government, you know, spending all this money on COVID and $2 trillion COVID relief. And you know what they're doing? Just buying votes. Yeah. I mean, if I looked at my bank account, I should be voting for Biden. He gave me like 20 grand. I have 11 kids. You know, Biden's giving me like 20 grand. I'm still not going to vote for him. But a lot of people, when they just keep getting more money and Biden is sending the money every month, I'm getting a monthly payment right now from him. Who's getting the monthly payment right now? God bless you. I see that hand. Hey, I'm getting paid every month from the government right now, like COVID relief. My job hasn't even changed. My life hasn't even changed. And yet the government's just like, here's $20,000. I'm just like, thank you. I've been paying in my whole life. I'm glad to be making a withdrawal right now. But the point is, this money, it's not their money. It didn't grow on trees. It's tax dollars that basically people are working hard. They pay these tax dollars. And then politicians are just able to use this to buy people's votes, do a big power grab. And then you've got these corporations making billions and billions of dollars off this stuff. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And let me just say it right now. Hey, I'm not vaccinated for COVID. I'm not going to get vaccinated for COVID. My family's not going to get vaccinated for COVID. I encourage my church members not to get vaccinated for COVID because it's an experimental vaccine. And we all remember what happened back in 1976 with the swine flu fake scare with all the vaccines that were given out to 40-some million people. And a lot of people were harmed and injured by that vaccine. You know, we don't want the experimental vaccine. Isn't that our choice? You know, and you know what? Here's a great reason to just reject the COVID vaccine. The fact that they're giving you $50 to take it. That should be the first red flag. You know what I mean? Like $50 gift card just for taking this vaccine. You know, if the vaccine were really desirable, people would be begging for it. They'd be lining up. They'd be paying $50 of their own money to get it. But instead, they have to pay you to take it. Also, just the bizarre brainwashing campaign. Like if you go on the news right now, you look on whatever the news site, it's just like a vaccine infomercial. Like every single article is just like, get vaccinated. This guy didn't get vaccinated. He's dead. Did we tell you about this other guy? He used to be against vaccines. Now he died of COVID. He's an idiot. Don't be like him. You know, it's just like every single article is like that. Hey, even if you've had COVID twice, get vaccinated anyway. Hey, you might need a third vaccine. You know, it's just like, dude, what in the world? Like it's being pushed so hard. That should immediately be suspect. Just immediately be like, whoa, there's something weird going on here. This is super weird. Or how about this other red flag? The fact that you're not allowed to talk about it. Because I've made statements about this that were much milder than what I'm saying tonight. If you upload a video to YouTube, even just mildly critical, even just questioning like, hey, I don't trust the vaccine, you're deleted. Right, yeah. What in the world? Like, why? Because there's only one viewpoint allowed. Yeah. It's got to be a pro-homo viewpoint. Yeah. It's got to be a pro-vaccine viewpoint. You can't even give the other side, even if you're using facts. Even if you're uploading facts from the swine flu vaccine of the 70s, they'll squash that. Why? Is it because it's fake news? No, it's not fake news. It was real. It happened. Is it bad science? No. I mean, all the data is there. It doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter because there's only one viewpoint that's allowed. That's what it comes down to. And so you got these forced vaccinations. And, you know, you say, well, what's wrong? Why are you against the vaccines? First of all, like I said, it's super suspect. Okay. But not only that, but, you know, these vaccines, they're unclean. You know, I don't want to put that junk in my body. You know, I don't want to bring disease and mainline it into my bloodstream or whatever. You say, oh, it's not the disease. You know, whatever it is, it isn't a natural thing, and I don't want to inject it into my bloodstream. You know, I get exposed to germs the old-fashioned way through my mouth and through my nose and through my ears and through my skin, and my body has an immune system to deal with those things, and I don't want to just mainline that stuff directly into my bloodstream, and so it's unclean. It's, you know, I don't want to mess with it. Now, if you would turn to John chapter 11, John chapter number 11, you know, it's so bizarre. Again, this whole sermon started because I saw that video and I left that YouTube comment and my comment got censored. But it's so bizarre today that people don't understand when they read the Old Testament. They don't understand that word unclean. It's not a hard word. Right? I mean, we all know what clean means. It's unclean. Any questions? But you've got a lot of modern Bible versions twisting this and changing it to ritually impure. It's like, look, the Bible's telling you somebody's sick and they're oozing pus on the sheets. Change the sheets. It's unclean. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Leviticus 15 says. If you're bleeding all over the place, wash it up. And everything that got the blood on it, everything that got the saliva on it, everything that got the snot on it from a sick person, it's all unclean. Wash your hands in running water. Bathe your flesh in running water. Clean the pot. Clean the bed. Clean the chair. Clean the house. It's unclean. But you know what? The Jews don't even believe that. They think it's just ritual impurity. Folks, that's not ritual impurity. It's called sanitation. You know, he's telling you all these things so that you can be clean. You know, hey, you touch a dead body, you're unclean. Go bathe your flesh in water and wait till the evening, and then you're considered ritually pure. No, you're clean now because you took a bath, because you washed off the snot. You washed off the blood. You washed off the whatever. Okay, this is so basic. It's so obvious. But today, people are blinded when they read Scripture. I kid you not. A little while back, I met a sodomite, queer Jew who kept kosher. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on, let me get this straight. So pork is unclean, but you being a faggot's not unclean. The guy's an open faggot, but he's worried about, you know, mixing his meat and dairy. Because that'd be unclean. He can't eat a chicken sandwich with cheese on it because, you know, that'd be seething a kid in its mother's milk. Now, last time I checked, chickens don't give milk to their young because they're birds. They're not mammals. You can't milk a chicken. Like, we're getting Raising Cane's tonight. It's chicken. Chickens don't produce milk. But according to Jewish law, you can't have chicken and cheese on a sandwich because that's seething a kid in his mother's milk. That chicken that we're going to eat tonight, its mother didn't have any milk. You couldn't seed that chicken in its mother's milk if you tried, because it's a chicken. Cows give milk. Kids, are you listening? Goats give milk. Sheep give milk. They're called mammals. Chickens, you can't milk a chicken. You never will. But it's like, well, you know, we got to make sure we only eat the clean meat. And we don't eat the pork because it's unclean. And we don't eat the shrimp because it's unclean. Meanwhile, he's doing MSM. And the CDC says that he's a disease dispenser. He's an AIDS dispenser. And he's worried about clean and unclean beasts. If he wants to find an unclean beast, he just needs to look in the mirror. That's an unclean beast, you know. And he's looking up Leviticus 11 in the Torah. You don't need to look at Leviticus 11. You need to look in the mirror. There's an unclean beast, and it's not a pig. It's you. But this is the insane world that we're living in. Now, why is the truth censored? Even medical stuff. Even just, you know, you just want to give some facts about vaccines or some history about vaccines. Even if it's from reputable sources, even if it's from respectable sources, censored. Why is the truth censored? Why is the truth about the sodomite censored? Why is the truth about vaccines censored? Why are so many truths censored? I'll tell you why, because the truth is powerful. And the truth scares people who deal in lies. Now, the truth is not afraid of scrutiny. The truth fears no investigation. But the purveyors of lies, their only way of keeping the lie going is to keep you from finding out the truth. Because the truth is so powerful. You know, you could lie to somebody for 20 years straight, and literally in like 20 minutes, you could undo all that with the truth. Truth is like a knife. It just cuts through all that, right? Somebody could be lied to in the Catholic Church for like 20 years. You could knock on their door, and sometimes in 15 minutes, you could literally just show them that what they've been listening to is a lie. And many times they'll see like, wow, I've been lied to. This is the truth. And the Holy Spirit can do that when the Word of God is preached in soul winning. Look at John chapter 11, verse 47. This is a great example of this. It says in John chapter 11, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we do? What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." They're saying, like, if we leave this guy alone, everybody's going to believe in him. And then we're going to lose our precious land or whatever to the Romans. Everybody's going to believe in him if we leave it alone. And you know what? Here's what the people down at YouTube are saying right now. If we leave this channel alone, everybody's going to believe this. Yeah. It, Facebook is like, if we leave this alone, people are going to find out the truth. You know, I posted a video earlier this week. It was called like Mary Tyler Moore swine flu vaccine or something. Did anybody see that video? Dude, if everybody in America watched that video, that's 15 minutes long. If everybody in America watched that video, people would be really hesitant to take this COVID vaccine. And here's the thing. Forget COVID, because, you know, that's not really the biggest issue we're dealing with today. It might seem like it because everybody's all upset about it. That's not the biggest. The biggest issues are always spiritual issues. Okay? So fill in the blank, whatever biblical issue, biblical doctrine, Bible preaching, that's the most important stuff. And let me tell you something. The people down at YouTube, they know that if the Bible is allowed to just be preached on the airwaves of their platform, unfettered, it will turn the hearts of millions of people to the Lord. God's word is powerful. If a spirit-filled preacher gets up and preaches God's word, I mean, if they were to just let it run wild and not shadow ban and put stuff on the back burner and suggest to you all the phony televangelist types, if they were to let it go, you know, obviously they're exaggerating when they say all men will believe on him, because a lot of people, their hearts are so hard, they're not going to believe no matter what they see or hear. But they know that a lot of people are going to believe. Millions of people, if they heard the preaching of God's word, opening the Bible, clearly stating it, they'd believe it. And so that's why they have to use censorship, because the Bible is so powerful. The preaching is so powerful. The truth is so powerful. It cuts through all their garbage and it undoes years of the work that they've done to brainwash people. It just undoes it in a moment. Just in a few moments, it just destroys all their work. But what are we going to do? We can't just leave them alone. Everybody will believe in them. You know, we can't just leave these channels alone. We can't just let these guys post to Facebook all these Bible verses and statements, because you know what? Everybody will hear it and get the truth, and people by the droves will change their views and turn to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter number 5, next book after John is Acts. It says in Acts 5, while you're turning there, I'll start reading in verse 27 while you're turning. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them," Acts chapter 5, verse 28, "saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." You're trying to blame us for the death of Jesus. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." You know, I like how earlier in the book of Acts, when this issue happened, they said it differently. They said, you know, hey, and I'm paraphrasing, but they basically said, you know, whether it be right in the sight of God for us to obey you or to obey God, judge you. Like, who should we be obeying here, you or God? But they've already had this conversation. This is the second time. Now it's just like, we ought to obey God. You know, you didn't understand last time when we gave it to you as a question and we gave you the choices, A or B. You didn't know which one to pick. So now we're just going to make it a statement. We ought to obey God rather than men, period. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, what are they mad about? They're mad about the fact that they are bringing this man's blood upon them. You know, that they're blamed for the death of Jesus because they murdered Jesus, and they're being called out for that because Jesus is the Son of God. And they killed him. But look what they say. "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." So are they backing down on the issue that's causing the trouble? They're doubling down on it. It's the first sentence. Oh, by the way, oh, you don't like the fact that we brought out the fact that you crucified Jesus? Let me make that the first thing I preach. That's going to be the first sentence is, you slew Jesus and hanged him on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Why? Because God's word is powerful. Because the truth is powerful. Because spirit-filled preaching is powerful. Even the haters, even the resistant ones to the Holy Ghost, they were cut to the heart. God's word, God's preaching cuts like a knife. And it said they were cut to the heart. So what are they going to do? They're still not going to get right with God. They took counsel to slay them. They said, we've got to kill these guys. We have to shut these guys up. The only way to stop them is to kill them. Beating them doesn't stop them. Putting them in prison doesn't stop them. Threatening them doesn't stop them. The only way to stop them is to kill them. Why are they so bent on stopping them? Because God's word is too powerful. They can't argue with it. Later on, Stephen preaches to them, and his spirit, the Bible says, they couldn't resist what he was preaching. It's like they can't argue with it. They can't find a way to counter it. So here's the thing. When you can't have an argument, when you can't prove someone wrong, I mean, what was that university in Australia? What were they going to say to me? Oh, your statistics are wrong. They know they're not wrong. They know that they're straight from the CDC's website. And what's everybody saying right now? Trust the CDC guidelines. Follow the CDC's guidelines. You know, when I hear people say, like, we need to listen to the CDC, I'm just like, it's about time. Let's get on AIDS.gov and let's listen to them. And then they'll be like, oh, well, I mean, no, don't listen to that part. I mean, great. Yeah, let's listen to the science. No, not that science. The other science. Science that we're telling you. So what were they going to say to me? What were they going to say? Were they going to say, your science is wrong? Well, I'd be like, well, here it is, it's CDC.gov. You know, are you saying that the CDC is wrong? Are you saying that HIV.gov is wrong? So they can't say that, can they? Or they can just say, you're mean. You're hateful. You're a bigot. But, okay, but does that change the science? Does that change the facts? Does that change the numbers? Or they could say, you're doing the math wrong. But they know I'm not doing the math wrong because it's simple math. I mean, it's not complicated. It's just a little bit of multiplication, a little bit of division. You know, it's nothing crazy. And so you could do the math. You could round this off and just do a couple fractions and boom, you're over 200 times more likely as a homo dude than a hetero dude. Real simple, real obvious. You know what? They can't. There's no answer they could give. So what do? Just hide this comment. We got to hide this comment. We got to hide this user from our channel. We got to delete this. And if you ask them, why did you delete that? What would they say? Well, it was just too true. It just hurt too much. I was cut to the heart, so I deleted it. Is that what they're going to tell you? They're going to say, oh, it was against our policy of discrimination, hate speech. It was too bigoted or whatever. That's all just a code word for it wasn't stuff that we like. We didn't like it. It didn't make us feel good about our sin. Go to Jeremiah chapter 36, if you would. We're looking at some censorship in the Word of God. Because what are they trying to do in the book of Acts? They're trying to censor the preaching. We got to shut these guys up. We got to stop them from preaching. If we just let these guys go, everybody's going to believe it. Man, they're filling Jerusalem with the doctrine. It's everywhere. We got to stop this. Let's censor it. You know what? Censorship shows that people have no argument, and so they just shut down the opposition and don't even give them a voice to even speak. Now, here's the thing about this. I could understand a policy that just deletes things that are blatantly false. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody just gets on there and just lies. Like what if somebody just released a news article that says, like, you know, we're at war with Russia right now. We're bombing them right now. It would just be like, what? You know, if they just made stuff up, that would be like a fake news, right? Or like, oh, look, here's an archaeologist dusting off a skull that's like 10 feet tall. Or, you know, Bat Boy found in cave. Or you know, 500-pound baby born to the mother, you know. Okay, I can understand saying that's fake news. And, you know, people are lying. Or if somebody's like slandering someone. You know, if somebody just, what if somebody just posted something about myself or your pastor or something, and they just made up some story about how, you know, we had been involved in some scandal that didn't even happen or something, then you could see, like, wait a minute, hey, that needs to be deleted because that's a lie that's being spread or something. But folks, what about when somebody just gives their opinion? They're not even giving any facts. If somebody just gives their opinion, says, well, here's how I see things. Here's what I think about this. Or, you know, here's my view. And they're not even giving facts. They're just giving their opinion. Like, what's the harm in letting somebody just give their opinion? Because if their opinion's stupid, then everybody's going to know it's stupid. You know, and if their opinion's worth considering, then let's hear what they have to say. Now, you know, or if somebody's just laying out facts and they're even bringing them from a reputable source, how could you justify deleting that, you know? You know, I think about some points of view that I have a big problem with. You know, I have a big problem with people teaching work salvation. Amen. You know, I have a huge problem with people who deny the Trinity. Amen. You know, I have a huge problem with these false doctrines. But you know what I don't do? I don't hide these things. I don't tell my people, whatever you do, don't listen to the Seventh-day Adventists. You know, like, you guys need to just not listen to Seventh-day Adventist teachers. Whatever you do, don't go on Mormon.org. Do not go to JW.org because I'm afraid you guys are going to get sucked in. You think I'm worried about that for 5 seconds? You think I care about that? You know, when we had to throw out heretics out of our church for denying the Trinity, you know what I did? When that heretic deacon that was fired and thrown out for secretly teaching heresy, when he uploaded a video of his oneness doctrine, I didn't say like, oh man, we got to hide this. I don't want people to see this video. You know what? Within an hour and a half of him uploading it, I uploaded clips of it on my channel and said, listen to the oneness heresy out of his own mouth. Yeah. I had uploaded in less than 90 minutes of him uploading it. People are like, how did you clip this so fast? Because it's called double speed. I watched it on double speed. It's the greatest feature on YouTube. Where would I be without double speed? But the thing is, you know, I uploaded it right away and said, look, folks, here's the oneness heresy out of his own mouth. Here's his full video, if you want to get it in context. And here are the damning clips of him outright denying the Trinity right out of his own mouth. And so you don't have to take my word for it of why he was fired, why he was kicked out of the church. He's teaching the lies right here. I'm not trying to hide it. You know why? Because you can go listen to Tyler Baker for hundreds of hours if you want to. Because you know what? If you fall for his garbage denying the Trinity, then you deserve him. Go for it. Be my guest. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm not trying to hide that and say like, oh man, we don't want to hear people to hear his arguments. Folks, I can destroy every one of those arguments I already have. You know, in the first week, I destroyed them in 3 sermons. Pentecostal oneness doctrine exposed, right? Trinity, I don't remember what the sermons were called, but there were 3 of them, okay? And they dealt with it all. The point is, you know, we're not trying to hide. You know, when we get up and preach against work salvation, we're not just like, man, I hope nobody turns to James 2. I hope people don't find it in their Bible. When we preach against work salvation, we're like, turn to James 2. Let's see what James 2 says. And we deal with it. We expound it. We explain why the enemy is wrong about James 2, why they're twisting James 2. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We put all the evidence on the table. We get out James 2, and we get Romans 4, and we put them right next to each other, and we say, look at James 2, look at Romans 4, and let's get to the bottom of this. But I wonder if the work salvation teacher pulls out Romans 4 in his sermon. And pulls out Romans 4, verses 1 through 8 in his sermon, no, it's not going to happen, okay? The point is, we don't hide what our opponents are saying. We don't hide. Now, if somebody comes on our YouTube channel and is just trolling us, I do block the flat earthers. Because otherwise they'll just, and here's why I block the flat earthers, because they'll just fill up the whole stupid comment section, and most of them are literally robots. They're not even real accounts. But that's because they're just spreading complete garbage and lies. It's not because I'm afraid of people seeing it. It's just because I don't want that to just become my channel. But you know what? Hey, I've even pointed people and said, look at this stupid flat earth video. Look at this insanity that they teach. I'm not afraid of that. You think I'm afraid of that, folks? The truth fears no investigation. Like, we love to engage the other side on any subject. Right. Name the subject. We want to engage the other side. We will point out, here's what they're saying. Here's what the Catholics are saying. Here's what the Mormons are saying. Here's what the JWs are saying. And here's what we're saying. And go get the evidence yourself. Go listen to it in context. We're not afraid to do that. But isn't it interesting how the liars and the frauds and the deceivers are always afraid of being scrutinized? Yeah. They don't want anybody checking them out and checking. You know, and something's wrong when a church has to put their entire YouTube channel completely private, not because they're trying to just, you know, because they have two strikes, but because they literally just don't want to be held accountable for what they're preaching. I mean, think about it. Manly Perry. You know, he made his YouTube channel unlisted. And basically, then, you know, we got the keys to it somehow. And I pulled out a clip from his own teaching and I uploaded it to my YouTube channel with no comment. I just put up a video. It was just a clip. I didn't even explain to people what was wrong with it. I just put up a clip of him preaching, and it just said in the title something like, Manly Perry teaches heresy that Mary isn't even the mother of Jesus. Or so, you know, this weird teaching that he was doing. I put up this video just showing people this is what he's teaching. And what does he do? Just now, that literally within like 60 minutes of that upload, his whole channel went private. You know what? That's what cults do. Amen. They hide what they teach. Yep. And here's the thing. Even if one of our YouTube channels has to go private because of the fact that, you know, we get in too many strikes or whatever, and we got to be on the alternate channel or whatever, hey, you can always go to faithfulwordbaptist.org and get all of my preaching. Yeah, yeah. Since I started the church from then until now, every sermon audio is on there in MP3 format. Yeah. And it always will be made publicly available. Why? Because phonies and liars and heretics have to hide what they're teaching. Because they don't want to be held accountable, because the truth fears no investigation, but liars hate being held accountable and checked out. And they hate allowing the opposition to be heard. So they have to tell their people, like, don't go on the internet. Don't look any of this stuff up. Don't look any of this up. You know, they have to tell them not to look. You think I'm afraid of my church members researching other religions? No, because you know what? If one of my church members were to go out and research other religions and switch to, say, the Eastern Orthodox Church or the Roman Catholic Church or the Mormon Church or the JWs, you know what I would say? I would say they were never saved in the first place. They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They didn't just now switch to that. Right now, they're just being made manifest that they were not of us. They were never of us. They were always a fraud. That's what I would say. So here's the thing. If I believe that my church members are actually saved, why would I be afraid of them looking at other religions? Because I know that if they're actually saved, then the Holy Spirit will not allow them to go off into that and believe that craziness. Because anybody who believes on Christ will continue to believe on Christ. And they will stay with sound doctrine. Now, they might get screwed up on little things here and there, but they're not going to start denying the Trinity and become a Mormon. They're not going to become a Muslim. They're not going to become Roman Catholic or something. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about that. If one of my church members became an atheist, I would say they were never saved. And so we're not worried about it. You know, that we allow a free exchange of ideas. We're not trying to hide, like, man, I really hope that my people don't find out what Methodists teach, you know, because it might appeal to them or something. It's like, bye. Here, you want me to help you find the United Methodist Church? It's easy because it's the one with the rainbow flag on it. There it is. Go there. And please stay if you like that stuff. Please don't come back. Did I have you turn to Jeremiah 36? Look at verse 21. Here's some more censorship in the Word of God. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, so keep in mind, this is like a huge chunk of the book of Jeremiah. This is very long. And he only reads three or four leaves. So he's just getting started. When he'd read three or four leaves, he's not done. He cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll means scroll in our modern vernacular, was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And so what is he doing? He's destroying this copy of the Word of God so that it won't go any further, so that other people won't hear it, so that it won't be read or proclaimed. So he cuts it and then burns it. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They destroy it. So then, you know, because YouTube is censoring this this preaching, in verse 25, they file an appeal with YouTube. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But YouTube denies their appeal. It says he would not hear them. You know, so they're appealing the YouTube strike, and YouTube's not even scared. They're just like, no, we don't care what God says. We don't care what the truth is. We don't care what's right. We'll destroy it. And of course, does this work? No, because God's word continues to go forth. Because you know what? God comes to Jeremiah and he says, get out another scroll. Let's do this again. And Jeremiah gets the word of God again from the Lord. Barak writes it down and he adds to it more like words. So he salvages the old preaching because it's on a hard drive. It's on thumb drives. It's on DVDs. It's on CDs. He's able to pull out the old preaching and salvage it and then get up and do another one on Sunday morning and another one on Sunday night and another one on Wednesday night. You know, you can't keep preachers from preaching. You can't keep the Word of God from going forth and doing its work. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here's the thing. In 2021, there are two very effective ways to get God's Word out there. Two very different, very effective ways. You know, number one is we can go door to door. And by going door to door, we can just talk to people. I mean, you know, some people, this is like a foreign concept, like interacting with people in real life, flesh and blood, actually meeting people and talking to strangers. Now, kids don't talk to strangers, but adults, yeah, we talk to strangers, right? We, you know, we actually meet people in real life, not just, you know, we're so socially distanced that everything's on Zoom or something, you know. So, you know, one way to reach people with the Word of God is just to walk up to them, knock on their door, right? Soul winning, knock on the door and just open the Bible and show people how to be saved. And it works. Every single week it works, right? I mean, you know, our churches are getting people saved on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. We're getting people saved. A lot of times, even on a daily basis, you know, somebody's getting saved almost every day in a lot of cases because of different soul winning times that are meeting during the week or different members witnessing in their personal lives. I mean, people are being saved. It works, folks. Door to door soul winning works. It's not going to work every door, but you keep knocking doors, you keep going, man, you're going to get some people saved, period. And then another powerful way to reach people with the Word of God in 2021 is the internet. And the internet is huge. I mean, we reach tons of people with the internet through social media, through our church websites and the preaching that's uploaded there. So we're able to reach literally sometimes even millions of people. You know, we'll get that viral video on YouTube or viral video on Facebook. You know, I wouldn't recommend TikTok, but, you know, like I know there have been videos of my preaching on TikTok that had like millions of views, like literally like 2 million viewers, you know, and it's like, whoa. So, you know, the internet is a tool to reach literally millions of people with the word of God. But let me make this real clear. The internet doesn't replace the real life door-to-door soul winning or the public services that you hold Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or Thursday night in your case. The public services in the house of God, you know, and the door-to-door and the real-life human interaction, it's not been replaced by the internet. We need both. We need both of these working in tandem. You know, I don't want to just do door-to-door and public services. I also want to do the internet because we reach so many people that way. But I don't want to just do the internet. I also want to do the real life. Why? Because you're reaching very different kinds of people. There are a lot of people, they're too awkward or shy. They don't even want to talk to you in real life. You try to talk to them in real life, they get nervous, they get scared, they kind of clam up. Plus, not only that, you can't really be blunt with people in real life like you can be on the internet. Because, like, in real life, I'm not, I was just out soul winning on Wednesday, and I knock on a guy's door who's a Muslim. And, you know, this Muslim, he allowed me to go through the whole plan of salvation with him. And I went through the whole gospel with him. He was asking questions. He was listening. I got through the whole plan of salvation with this guy, and I was able to plant that seed, okay? But here's what I'm not doing at the door when I knock on the door of the Muslim. I'm not like, Muhammad's a pedophile! He's married to a six-year-old! She was nine! It's a pedophile pervert religion that you're part of. You're not just, if I just went up to somebody's door and just said that in their face, like, you're following a pedophile. Here's what's going to happen. That person's heart is going to start beating faster. Yeah. Right? They're going to have like a fight or flight response. Like, whoa, this guy's getting in my face. He showed up at my door. He's screaming about Muhammad, peace be upon him, and saying all this stuff. And it's like, you know, they're going to have like a fight or flight. I mean, their blood's, you know, they're not even going to be thinking straight. Because they're just going to be defensive. Like right away, their guard is up. They're just defensive. But let's face it. That's what Muslims really need to hear, though. Amen. That's kind of what they need to hear. But it's a lot easier for them to hear that like from the comfort of their home. Because they know I'm not just going to like jump out of the screen and go like, ah, you know. So they can like, you know, they can watch it on YouTube. And hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of Muslims over the years have watched my really harsh sermons against Islam and the really harsh rebukes of Islam. And they're getting that, what they need to hear, that kind of wake-up call, like, wake up, dude. They're getting that. But they're getting it, like, in the safety of their home. They can have, like, a security blanket. They can have, like, a pillow. They can have, like, some comfort food. And they can be in a safe space and kind of check, make sure the door's locked, the alarm's set, and they can watch it. Maybe they can turn it down a little if it's scaring them too much. You know what I mean? It's a more appropriate place for them to get that. And so, you know, that's where they get the really hard stuff. Now, you know, I can get up and preach that way in church, you know, because it's like, hey, you know, we're all here because we are Christians, and we like the hard preaching, and we want the pastor to get up and scream and yell and tell us how Islam really is. But is the door really the place for that? No, and like when I go soul winning at the door, I'm not yelling at people. I'm not saying all these really shocking or offensive things, even if they're true, because of the fact that I know that, you know, that's not a normal way to interact with people one-on-one. You know, that's more behind the pulpit. Or that's more for like a YouTube video or something. You know, it's more appropriate. So, but they need to hear it. So what I'm explaining is kind of some of the differences between YouTube and real life stuff. YouTube, you can kind of just cut loose and tell the Hindus what's up about their religion. And they need to hear it. You know, so that's a good thing about that. Also, you're reaching different kinds of people. Because, you know, some people spend their life on the internet. Other people don't. Not everybody's just like on glued to a screen all day. Some people actually have real lives that they're living. But then half the population is glued to a screen all day. And then half the population's out doing stuff. But hey, I want to reach both. So, you know, a lot of people, they're not going to talk to me at the door, but they will watch it on YouTube. A lot of people, even if they're on glued to the internet, they're glued to a video game, they're glued to YouTube, but they're not searching like Baptist preaching, KJV 1611. You think that's what they're searching for? No. That's why I got to go and knock on their door and say, hey, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And get them thinking about that and say, hey, let me show you from the Bible, because they're not going to search the Bible way to heaven until they get that YouTube card, until I talk to them about that, okay? And so the point is, it's two very different things. You know, there's the real life stuff and the internet. Want to use both. They're gonna reach different kinds of people. We're going to reach them with a different message sometimes. I mean, the gospel is the same for both, but, you know, the really radical preaching happens behind the pulpit. Obviously, in someone's front yard is neither the time nor the place to really just cut loose and, you know, and rip some face, okay? And I hope that's not how you go soul winning. I hope you understand when you're at someone else's house, you kind of have to respect that you're at their house, you know, okay? But anyway, you know, but one of the big differences I want to bring up too is that here's the thing about real life is that in real life, we're not being censored. You know, so we don't want to just get to where we're just relying everything on the internet, because the internet's getting more and more restrictive. This isn't 2007 anymore. This isn't 2008 anymore when YouTube was the Wild West. Now it's getting more and more restrictive. And if you're relying on that to evangelize, you know, we need to have both. We need to be able to. And look, that's why I'm glad you're here tonight, physically in person, sitting in this auditorium, listening to this sermon right now. Because a lot of people are not even going to find this sermon. They're going to have a hard time finding it, because it's going to be so censored of a sermon. Because, you know, I pushed all the wrong buttons. I talked about the vaccine. I talked about sodomites. And so that just, you know, this is not going to be a viral video on YouTube. It can't be, because YouTube will shut it down. It can't be viral. Sometimes you just got to be there, you know? So 2 Timothy chapter 4, so we want to keep both alive, right? We want to do the internet ministry. We want to do the door-to-door ministry. We want to have the public services. We want to be firing on all cylinders. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee before God, I'm going to close on this scripture, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. If it's popular, preach it. If it's unpopular, preach it anyway. If they ban it, preach it anyway. Put it on a special website called banpreaching.com. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come, and watch this next phrase, the time when will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And you know, one of the things that it means here when it says they won't endure sound doctrine, it's saying like they won't put up with it. They don't even want to hear it. They don't even want to listen to it. Remember, reprobates don't even want to retain God in their knowledge, according to Romans 1. They don't want God's word to be preached. They don't want hard preaching to happen. It's not enough for them to just say like, well, I don't like it. I'm not going to listen to it. It's like, no, they won't endure it. They want to put a stop to it. They don't even want to be exposed to it. They want to shut it down. They want to shut your church down. They want to shut my church down. They want to shut down our social media platforms. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice they won't endure the preaching. They only want the teaching, because they want it to be soft. And this is why, you know, it used to be on YouTube that when I watched a sermon by, say, Pastor Roger Jimenez or something, then the next video that it would autoplay or the thing that it would suggest is another Pastor Jimenez sermon. It's like, oh, you like Pastor Jimenez? Well, here's another one. Oh, you like Pastor Anderson? Might I suggest a sermon by Pastor Bruce Mejia? You know, like that would actually make sense as a suggestion. Like, oh, you like Bruce Mejia? Oh, here's Dave Berzins. Oh, have you tried Steven Anderson? Oh, you know, here, you know, wouldn't that make sense? Like, it'll be like, you know, because people who watch this also like Dispensation of Heresy, you know. They also liked Margin to Zion. You know, that's the kind of suggestions that would make sense. But, you know, that's how it used to be. I could just leave it on autoplay and it'll just play preaching and play stuff I like. Now it's like you finish up a Pastor Bruce Mejia sermon. What's the next sermon? John MacArthur. What's the next sermon? Joel Osteen. T.D. Jakes. Kenneth Copeland. That's the kind of stuff it rolls into now. Just these couple of approved guys, these teachers that they've heaped to themselves, these teachers having itching ears, the phony, big name. And you know what all these guys have in common, by the way, that I'm listing? You know what they all have in common? They're all millionaires. Right? They're all just filthy rich, preaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And they are the people that the YouTube community wants to push for you. Like, oh, let's get you on. And look, here's what I do, friend, because I don't like it how they do that. So, you know, before I click out, I always give it a thumbs down first. So by suggesting me MacArthur every day, you're just giving MacArthur a thumbs down is all you're doing. When you just keep wanting me to listen to T.D. Jakes. So it says they'll heap to themselves, these teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. It's not even just that they don't believe the truth or that they won't acknowledge the truth. They turn away their ears from it. It's like, nope, we won't even listen. You know, we don't even want to hear the other side. We just want to shut the other side down. And be turned unto fables, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And you know what? First Works Baptist Church has fought a good fight. Amen. You've kept the faith. Amen. You know, even in the face of the things that happened at the old building. You know, I mean, just take a look at the piano, you know. The piano has been bombed with an improvised explosive device. You know, you're not going to get that at the old IFB. You know what I'm saying? You know, this church has fought a good fight and has kept the faith. Yeah. And, you know, I obviously I don't really know all the church members here well, but I wouldn't be surprised if a couple people probably didn't bail when that happened. I don't know if they did or not, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out maybe that I haven't talked to Pastor Mejia about this, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he told me, yeah, a couple people left the church, you know, after the sodomites bombed the building. It wouldn't really surprise me, but you know what? You guys are the ones who've stayed. And obviously it's the vast majority because I'm seeing all the same people that I know and love every time I come here. And a lot of new faces as well. But I'm telling you something. You know, you guys have fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. Just realize there's always going to be somebody trying to shut up your preacher and trying to shut him down and trying to shut you down from proclaiming God's word. If they did it to Jesus, if they did it to Jeremiah, if they did it to Peter and John and the Apostle Paul, it's going to happen. You know what? We must continue preaching the truth. Amen. We can't let them win. They win when we start censoring our message. Because what happens is they censor, and then you know what we would start doing if we're tempted? Is start censoring ourselves. You know what I mean? Like they're out to censor us, so you know what? I'm just going to censor myself. Don't let them do that to us. Amen. I'm not going to censor myself. Amen. I'm not going to stop talking about these statistics. I'm not going to stop talking about Leviticus 20:13. I'm not going to stop preaching Romans 1. I'm going to do that stuff until I die. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to let them tell me that only one viewpoint's allowed. Okay, because a biblical viewpoint is valid. Amen. And nobody's going to shut this preacher up, and nobody's going to shut that preacher up. We're going to keep doing it. And you know what? Support your preacher. Support him and thank God. You know what you should do? You should get on your knees, members of the church here. Get on your knees and say, thank you, God, that my pastor stood for what was right. And even when things got ugly, he stayed with it. Amen. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of going to a church where the pastor preaches the whole Bible. Amen. Because you know what? A lot of people out there, they're going to a church that's censoring themselves. And so we ought to be thankful for the gift that God has given, as Ephesians chapter 4 says. You know, he gave some pastors and teachers and evangelists, you know, he gave that gift unto men. He gave the gift of these preachers and teachers and men for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so, you know, you ought to be thankful for this church, because you have a church to go to that is willing to confront these things. And you know what? It doesn't matter what YouTube does. It doesn't matter what Facebook does. And it doesn't even matter what the laws of the state of California or Arizona or the laws of the United States. We are not going to take back the things that we've said, and we're going to continue to say them. Amen. Because they're biblical. And you and God's people need to continue to stand. All of us. Man, woman, boy, and girl, let's stand. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the local church, Lord, as an institution that gives us a place to come together and have fellowship, Lord. And we're living in an insane world. It's crazy. And it's almost like some kind of a strange dystopian novel sometimes, just our lives. And so, Lord God, thank you so much for the sanity that's found in the local church. Help us to come to the local church frequently so we can get that sanity check. And Lord, just continue to bless First Works Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you would just confound and destroy the enemies of this church. The reprobates, the sodomites, Lord, I pray that you would destroy them. And those that are just, you know, they're ignorantly persecuting the church, Lord, I pray that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, help this church continue to grow and thrive. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.